The 21st New York International Children's Film Festival starts today, but the fans lining up are not just kids.
I'm in my 30s. I don't have any kids. I look forward to this festival every year.
Rebecca Pauly is associate editor at Film Journal International. She's seen a lot of the films the festival has brought together this year, and she says there's a lot to learn from kids' films these days, no matter what your age.
Well, the Children's Film Festival, as you know, is international, so you see a mix of a lot of different cultures. There's the film Liana, which is a documentary live-action hybrid about five orphans from Swaziland. There are films from China, Japan, France. And it really just is important in how it shows and exposes kids to a lot of different cultures. And it really teaches kids, or adults as the case may be, empathy, looking past initial differences and really becoming friends with people and, you know, showing empathy for people and understanding. And doing that in a way that's fun, that isn't didactic or preachy.
That you were especially taken with animated films. And I know that in the children's film genre, animation is just a huge part of presentation.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a lot of animation. Obviously, Japan with Studio Ghibli and anime. France has a huge, thriving animation community. And these are films that you don't really get a chance to see that often in theaters.
We're not talking Disney here.
No, this is you tend to see, if you're taking your kids to a film in the United States, you're seeing Disney, you're seeing Pixar, you're seeing DreamWorks. But there's so much more out there if you're willing to experiment and think outside of the box a little bit.
What does children's film now have to offer in the presentation of women and heroines and female characters and heroes?
It's definitely gotten a lot better just in the wider sense, and with this film festival in particular. I mean, you look at the older films going back to Cinderella and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and the heroines tend to be a little bit passive, someday my prince will come, that sort of thing. Now you are seeing heroines who stand up for themselves more often, who are not dependent on a sort of romance plot line. And in the short programs, which is one of the most popular components of the festival, there's this girls POV shorts program that has three shorts, all of them directed by women. One of them about a female basketball player, one of them about a female DJ, and then one of them about a woman who survived China's Cultural Revolution as a child. It's really giving great examples for girls about, you know, you can be anything. You don't just have to be a princess. You don't just have to be somebody's, you know, cool sidekick, you know, the sidekick to a man's story. I think you're really seeing great examples of heroines that young girls seeing these films can live up to.
Are audiences demanding something different here? Are parents demanding something different from these films that these representations are really changing in a noticeable way?
I definitely think that, yes, parents do want to see more positive representation on film for these young girls. And not for nothing, I think that's also important, really important for boys to see. And there is actually a boy short program at this year's festival, too, that sort of acts as a counterpart to the girls' POV section. Just to kind of get you out of these strict modes of this is the sort of thing that boys do and this is the sort of thing that girls do and never the twain shall meet.
That's a form of empathy itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think that's incredibly important, and that's one of the most important things that film can do in general, especially with kids when, you know, you're in that formative stage. These are lessons that you need to know.
Rebecca Pauly, associate editor at Film Journal International. What a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.